Our gospel reading for this week comes from the fifth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. We pick up here in the Sermon on the Mount in the 13th verse. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. I love the Sermon on the Mount. I love these texts because I think that they drive straight at life. Last Sunday, right after worship, I left the sanctuary here, headed up to a nursing home to make a visit. As I was leaving, I had public radio on, and I think the program is Mill Street Eats or something like that. It's a show all about cooking, and they give lots of advice and whatever. And the host was talking about finishing salt. Now, I have never heard of finishing salt before, but he talked about how finishing salt added right before you serve a salad can make it just become vivid. I loved the way he talked. There was great joy. There was exuberance. He was excited about salad. And what he said is, when he makes a salad, all he usually does now is a little bit of low acid vinegar, a little bit of good olive oil, stir it together, put it over, he said, just the most mundane salad, and then add a little finishing salt, and it becomes alive. Salt and light. That's what Jesus invites us to think about today, salt and light, that which is alive in the world. Part of what I love about this text, the Sermon on the Mount, is it is Jesus' teaching, right? I mean, Gracia led us into this text last week as she preached on the Beatitudes. It is a gathering of the followers of Jesus. They are there on a mountain. And in Matthew, mountains are places of revelation, places where people encounter God. Well, those who gathered around Jesus as he taught most certainly were encountering the Son of God. And today, as we pick up the second part of the Sermon on the Mount, we begin to hear Jesus' call that we do our faith, that we live our faith. Be the salt, he says. Be the light. Why? Because, well, if salt is just salt, if it loses its taste, what good is it? Thrown out and trampled underfoot. Light? Light that's hidden? Who would ever do that? You'd put it on a lampstand. You would put it out there so that all could see. This calling to be salt and light is a call to be the seasoning in the rest of the world. The call to brighten things up everywhere else. It is a call for Jesus' followers to enter into the world bearing the good news and being the good news. I think that's what we're called to think about. So this day, I think it's really important that we first understand that as Jesus is doing this teaching, who the you is. It's not directed toward one individual. It is a plural you, as in a y'all, as the Southerners would say. It's to the community, those who were gathered. You all are called to be the salt of the earth. You all are called to be the light of the world. I think that as we make a movement into our world today, we can think about our corporate communities, our congregations. We all, together, as the body of Christ, are called to be salt and light. We are called to have a focus on the gospel and make sure that we are bearing it, not just in the midst of our walls, but beyond ourselves, so that others can have a life that is lit up, spiced up a bit. Years ago, when I served as bishop in the Western North Dakota Synod, I spent a lot of time in congregations leading mission, vision, and value planning sessions. And one of the things that I would often do is gather the group together, give them a sheet of paper, and say to them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take an assessment of your congregation. I want you to think about all of the assets that you have. And I'm not talking about money. What are the assets that you have in your congregation? Give them 5 minutes of quiet, alone time to just think. Think about their building and their property. Think about what they have inside in their kitchen and their classrooms and everything else. And then we'd pull everybody together. And with big sticky note sheets of paper, we'd begin writing out lists of what people heard. And what would usually start out kind of slow and tentative, pretty soon the juices were flowing in the community, and one person was saying this, and another person was saying this, and pretty soon there were ahas remembering that and everything else. The reason I bring this up in alignment with this text is I think it is all about stewardship. And I'm not talking about the stewardship of money. Remember, we are a group of people who believe that stewardship is about time, talent, and treasure. I'm talking about the first two T's. A call to be about salt and light in the world is a call to take the gifts that God has given us, first corporately, and take out into the world for the sake of others. We are called to use those gifts that we've been given. So what are the gifts of this place, of Trinity Lutheran Church? If you were to sit down and think about that, what would the assets be that God has blessed us with? I mean, I think about this facility that has an elevator, that the main entrance is on one floor. You can come into the sanctuary regardless of your ability pretty easily, right? So it's accessible. And if you don't have the ability to walk stairs, the elevator can take you up or down. It stops on every floor, every level, and there are ramps to get people everywhere. That's a gift. An asset of this place is a commercial kitchen that is just incredible, a place to be able to cook so that we can gather people together. We have great space for church school, for adult Bible study, a community center to welcome people in. Do you get the idea? I invite you to sit at home and do some dreaming about the assets of this place. What would you add? What do we need to remember? Here's the next question then. How do we take these assets that I think are being used pretty well right now, but what other opportunities are there to use them? Who might we want to share these assets with? I mean, do you realize we've got a couple of empty office spaces? Who might be a nonprofit that's looking for some space that we could share with them? Then I think, as body of Christ, we need to remember that the body of Christ is built up of individuals, people with real names, human beings, Mary and George and Jane, Steph, right? On and on goes the list of people. You as an individual, how has God blessed you with time and talent? How do you use those gifts, the gifts of a listening ear? And let me be really clear. I think that that is an incredibly important gift. So if you've got a telephone or a cell phone, if you can't get out of your home anymore, but you have a list of people that you call and keep in touch with and kind of support them and care for them in that way, thanks be to God. I can still remember when my kids were small and my grandfather would call to our house. Did everybody get home from school okay? Is it storming very bad there? What's going on? It was an incredible telephone call of love. And he never said, I love you, but I knew it. There are other gifts that people have. Some people have just these incredible artistic gifts. Other people have the gifts of the ability to research and read and understand things that maybe need to come to us. I mean, we got a email from someone that said, do you know that there might be these energy efficiency grants coming up? What a gift that could be to this place. What are your gifts? How do you use them? And then here's the other question. How do you use them in the community? Right? We're really thankful for people who come here and teach Sunday school and read and worship and help with communion. All of those are the use of your gifts. But I also know that a lot of you use your gifts out in the community. It might be in your workplace. Luther talked about this. Talked with Peter the barber and said, you know what? Giving a good haircut for the sake of someone else's life, being fair and honest about it, that's good work. That's using your God-given gifts. What boards or committees or places do you serve? How do you take cooking or cookies or whatever out to other people in the community? Are you the kind of person who just stops to chat with people in a store? That is a gift. Not everyone has that ability to strike up a conversation with a stranger and just show them care and concern. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, this text about salt and light, it is about life. It is an invitation that we would take both individually and corporately all that we've been given and use it for the sake of others so that the gospel can be seen. And so, let our prayer be, Lord, open our eyes to our gifts, open our eyes to the opportunities, open our hearts so that we live the gospel for your sake. Thanks be to God. Amen.